and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 347. I'm your host, GPD, here in Tokyo, Japan. And of course, we are joined by somebody who I don't have a clever thing to say about, Wombat.
See, that was clever.
I was clever in my laziness.
My intro is going to suck even worse now.
Right. And here's a man who's always right. Again, Shipwreck.
Still. Who's always right still.
Still. Again. Forever.
Not again.
Yes, of course. What was I right about this week?
I don't know. We'll figure that out by the end of the show.
It was something. I forgot.
Sounds like a plan.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Another big show planned for everyone because finally my Xbox One showed up, so I can take part in the conversation that we had last week to a degree. And I don't know. There's probably other things that will make the show exciting as well. I hurt my back again. That wasn't too exciting.
How?
Lifting up the Xbox One?
No, it was pretty heavy, though.
Holiday stress?
Well, as you know, I am a big proponent of Dr. John Sarno's mind over back pain. So I believe that, yes, the back pain is initiated by not necessarily stress, but by something in your unconscious that creates a real physical pain. But
are you worried about me?
No, not at all. But it always gets, it's usually triggered by something like, you know, bending over or, you know, something like that. It doesn't just like come out of nowhere. It has to have like some sort of trick. Oh, when you
should spend less time bending over.
Right, right.
I don't know what you do at the Tokyo American Club, but it doesn't sound kosher.
No, right. Actually, it's even worse than that if I told you what really happened. But I don't know if I should tell you because it's kind of gross.
Then probably not.
Let's just say you should probably just, if you get some jizz on the floor, just leave it there. That's all I'm going to say.
Nice. Nice.
Okay, that painted a picture.
Right. Especially if you're by yourself and nobody knows.
That's sad. This story went from, all right, because I had a different picture in my head.
Oh, no. Forget about that.
Oh, that's sad.
No. It was sad because
All of these pictures are bad.
They're all bad, but like when you hurt your back cleaning up your own jizz from when you're masturbating in the bathroom by yourself.
Don't you have someone that cleans your house for you?
Well, the moral of the story is, obviously, if you get some jizz on the floor, just leave it there. And otherwise, your back is going to hurt. But I would not do that. You realize, like, before our cleaning lady comes once a week, and I spend an hour cleaning the apartment before she shows up because I'm...
Oh, everyone does that.
Right, because I'm just too embarrassed for her to see how we live.
That's understandable. And if you hear noise in the background, it's my child not going to bed.
I hear him.
Yeah.
Is there any extra jizz lying around that he could be cleaning up?
I can ask him. But I don't think he'll know what I'm talking about.
I will say, though, but because of all my yoga that I do now, my back got better. Like, it's almost 100% already, even though this happened on Saturday. So I do highly recommend, you know, one, just leaving the jizz on the floor, and two, start doing yoga because...
you get a quicker recovery time then.
Quicker recovery time and just, you know, just...
You know what I recommend? Put down a towel.
Towel would be good too. Yeah.
Maybe light some candles.
Because then you could just pick up. Yeah. You could pick up the towel and that's easier.
Right. Or just do it in the shower. And then then all bets are off. Then you never have to clean.
This is really an odd conversation.
All right, should we start the show over?
I think we need
Let's talk about Hanukkah.
Delete.
Oh, the show already.
Yeah, we didn't do anything for Hanukkah, really. So I have nothing. Is this left over from last week? I don't even know.
I think it's left over from last week. The last night of Hanukkah was tonight. So by the time people are listening to it, Hanukkah will be over.
Yeah.
It's a moot point.
What did you get? Anything?
I did. I got something that actually leads into talking about video games.
I got nothing. So you can go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I bought on Black Friday? Yeah. Lego Marvel for the Xbox One when it was on sale for $40.
Yeah.
And it showed up. It actually showed up late Saturday. And we played it. Didn't have a chance to play it until Sunday morning. But as soon as I put it on, my wife looks at the game and goes, "Where's the second controller so I can play with you?" And I'm like, I don't have a second controller for the Xbox One. And she goes, well, now I know what I'm getting you for Hanukkah. And we went to Target and she got me a second controller.
That's like Homer buying Marge the bowling ball that says Homer on it.
Pretty much. It was the similar situation. But although I was kind of thrilled, the idea of my wife wanting to play video games with me is the present, really.
Is that a very unusual occurrence or a never occurrence?
It is an unusual occurrence.
Does she watch you play?
No.
Not even that?
No. So, you know, I'm like, yeah, well, more power to you.
Cool. How do you like the game so far?
Oh, it's awesome. And you played it.
I finished it.
You finished, see? It's really cool. They do a lot right in that game. You know, the for Lego characters, but, you know, they're based, concerning what they're based on and based on, you know, characters that I'm familiar with, the way they move, the individual movements they put into each individual character is pretty impressive. When Captain America fights, he fights and has motions that are very Captain America-like. Like in the Avengers movie, when Captain America fights all of the, whatever they are, the aliens on top of a taxi, and he does all that kind of fancy fighting movements, mm-hmm. The character in the game does that.
Yeah, the animations, you know, are really good.
Yeah, they really put...
animations when you were getting your hand slapped for the Hot Wheels debacle.
There you go. See, I missed that. But then again, now I got the experience of getting to see it in my house.
And you got Hot Wheels.
Exciting.
It all worked out.
Exactly. So, and tonight we opened even more Hot Wheels, about 12.
Yeah, the game is pretty sweet.
The game is pretty awesome.
I'm curious on how the next gen versions look compared to the PC versions.
I'm sure it's similar to the PC. I wouldn't be surprised. My only complaint is, you know, I would actually be willing to get the DLC for this, but it's not available on the Xbox One yet, and I have a feeling that by the time it is available, I will have moved on.
And it'll probably never be available for PC, unfortunately.
Yeah.
What is it? It's the Asgard stuff, right?
There's the Asgard stuff, and there's another pack of, like, other... I think there's, like, missions in it, too.
Oh, shit. But, oh, God. I better not let Ty find out. Ty was heartbroken to find out that Vision is not in the game.
Oh, I don't know if... I'm not going to say if he is or isn't in that other...
Oh,
in the
pack,
download pack?
Oh, in the pack, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, like I said, the Mighty Avengers, whatever, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, the season 2 came out on Netflix, and we've been watching that, and it's pretty awesome. And now Vision
is pretty
awesome,
dude. It's a really good show, I won't lie to you.
Speaking of good shows, this CAGcast is an excellent show, and how about some show feedback from the last one?
Really? That's your...
I don't know. It is
something. That's your segue?
It's something.
It is.
It's better. It's smoother than me, like, going from my jizz then to some other segment.
Well, I'm glad we wrapped back around that.
Yes.
And no, it doesn't appear that Vision is in that pack.
Okay.
It does have Thanos and Falcon in it, though. Mm. And vehicle races. That's what you get. Mm. Yeah. Doesn't sound all that thrilling. Anyway, Zombie Jesus has to say...
Jeebus.
The Forza... Yes, Jeebus. Zombie Jeebus. You were correct. The Forza... Forza. We got in trouble for that. The Forza pricing model really turns me off. They can charge whatever they want for the cars. I have little issue with that. But changing the game structure to make people want to spend real money is really low. Now, I am pleased to say that Cheapy has stuck to his guns and still does not own a copy of Forza 5.
Well, I stuck to my guns in that I did not buy a new copy or a full price copy. Well, so here's the thing.
Kids, if you ever wondered what backpedaling sounds
like... No.
From
the start, I said I would buy a used copy or a discounted copy because I did not want to support the game. You know, I didn't want Microsoft to get any money from the game. So I looked on eBay just to see what my options were, and I saw all these codes available, download codes, for a lot of the first party, all the first party Microsoft games, Rise, Dead Rising, Zoo Tycoon, and Forza. And so I saw a guy selling it for $48. And so I bought it because I know that no retailers sell these codes. So actually, I went on Twitter to find out where these codes came from. And apparently, they were given out to people. Who either had faulty Xboxes, they were given out as like a, you know, an I'm sorry gift, or to some of their partners, I guess, other as gifts or whatnot. So I feel very confident in that Microsoft did not receive a single dime from my purchase. And now I can speak more intelligently about the microtransactions that are in the game because now I actually have the game.
I see. So you reversed your hard stance.
No.
So you, for us, for the people.
I didn't reverse
like
anything.
You're a man of the people.
Well, man of the people.
Yes.
No, we appreciate it.
Yes, I am a man of the people, but I always said I would buy a used copy, and I consider that this is the same as buying a used copy.
All right. There you go. Political cheapie.
Thank
Game's
you.
Pretty good. I've been playing it more.
We'll talk about it a little bit later. And I'm not, unfortunately, I'm not up to any of the, like, I'm not deep enough into it to talk about the microtransactions, but we could talk about the game a little bit later. How about some more show feedback?
Sure. Kaneko has to say, it's baffling to hear that Chibi doesn't want to play an amazing portable game like the new Zelda merely because of the so-called inferior controls. Facepalm. I don't remember you saying that. Did you actually say that?
No. I said, okay. I was when I said talk about inferior controls, I think I was talking about using the Vita for remote play and using the Shield, NVIDIA Shield for playing.
Oh, okay. I was like, what is, I don't, I was like, I would have said something to you about that because the game doesn't have inferior controls.
No, but I would say that to play
inferior screen size.
Yes, in that
lifestyle.
Yes, it's hard for me to go to that small screen size, and also I don't think it's going to be that. I only have the regular 3DS, and my manly hands are just would be too big
are
to play.
Too busy having something else in them.
Exactly. Although
that was gross.
Right. Although the small size didn't seem to be a problem for that, so I don't know.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
So I think, I mean, that's like a 25-hour game right there, right?
Nah, it's like 15.
Okay, well, even still, it just, I don't play portable games at all. I don't play them on my phone. I just, I don't commute anywhere. It just, I don't see myself sitting on the couch playing anything.
See, when I finished the game, I had to do that at home. Like the last boss fight of the new Zelda game. Mm. You know, for me, it was difficult. I'm sure there's someone typing furiously at their keyboard now going, it's difficult. It was the easiest boss fight in Zelda history, you loser. But I found it difficult. And it took me like 3 tries. And I was like, and if I was on a train or commuting while doing that, I wouldn't be able to handle it. So I did that from home.
Yeah, it's just, I just don't have much use for a portable system. I'm not, you know, whenever I travel, I'm walking somewhere, so I'm not.
And yet that doesn't stop you from owning all of them.
Right. Well, I don't.
Man of the people.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess so.
Exactly.
I have no use for this. I'll take 2.
Well, Well, you know, I need things to fill an hour and a half on this fucking show, so come on.
Well, Ty, yeah. Ty plays it some, too. I mean, he played Pokemon quite a bit, right?
Well, he stopped
Animal
playing
Crossing.
I bought those games for him, and he has not played very much of them. The battery winds up dying, and then I forget to charge it. And for quite frankly, I'd just rather have him read a book, you know? I don't want to, you know, it's hard to, I feel guilty encouraging a 6-year-old to play video games. You know what I mean?
My son is definitely more into it than my daughter is into it. He likes Disney Infinity still and Need for Speed, but he doesn't play it. He just likes to sit and watch.
The worst thing is that Ty likes watching these YouTube videos by this kid called EvanTube is the channel, or EvanTube HD. And it's basically just a kid who gets a lot of toy because he's got like hundreds of thousands of subscribers. So all the toy companies send him everything. And he just basically just it's like a really nice long commercial for every toy that's out there. And Ty just likes to chain watch these videos. I don't feel very good about that. So now I'm starting to hide the iPad in the morning because he wakes up early so he can watch EvanTube and then bother me about buying all the toys.
What does he want?
Everything. Well, you know what? He does? He's actually, I got to give him credit. He's pretty good about not bothering me about buying the toys these days because I think he started to do it. And then I was like, look, if you're going to bust my chops about this, then I'm not going to let you watch these videos. And I think he took that to heart because now he just watches the videos and tells me about them, but he doesn't bother me to buy them. And I think he also knows that a lot of these toys just aren't available here. Well, that's the excuse I use. And it's a pretty good excuse.
That's mean.
Well, look, he's got plenty of toys.
He doesn't get Hanukkah. He doesn't get Christmas.
He's got kids got plenty of toys. Trust me.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever, Uncle Scrooge.
Right. And I got him the demo for Zoo Tycoon, okay?
Oh, you got him the demo for Zoo. Father of the Year, everybody.
And the rivals.
Mom and I are going out for the evening.
Connect Sports.
You've got the Zoo Tycoon demo. We'll be home in the morning.
He made me feel guilty last night. He was like, what? He's like, what happened to that Marvel Heroes game with the Kinect? It's like, oh, they don't have that anymore. That's gone.
They don't.
I was like, that doesn't exist anymore.
Nice.
Okay. And somebody wrote in, Colafia wrote in and wanted to know what series events would have to occur for Cheapy to become a huge Nintendo fan. What would Nintendo specifically have to do? I think that they would have to come out with some cutting edge hardware that would get me excited. And they just haven't done that in a long time. You know, they've always been like a couple steps behind on everything. Portable doesn't count because I just really have no use for that. It does not fit my sedentary lifestyle. So they would really just need to come out with a new console that's, you know, that competes with the Xbox and PlayStation or PC. That's what they would have to do. Some watch this bitches. If you remember last week, we had a couple people, Mac Lachette and Silent Dante, wrote in about Almost Human, the new TV show on Fox. Have you watched that yet, Wombat? Because I did.
I did not. What did you think?
It's really good.
Would I like it?
Here's the setup, okay?
Okay, set me up.
It takes place, it's RoboCop. It's RoboCop, but more of like a buddy cop movie.
Yeah, it's Robo Buddy Cop.
Yeah. So,
but Nancy Allen is the guy from Dread.
Wait, yeah, sort of. So in the future, it's just like RoboCop. In the future, crime is out of control, so much so that we need robot cops. And these robot cops, because they're not like super advanced, I guess, as RoboCop, they need to have a human partner. And likewise, because crime is so out of control, each human partner needs to have a robot cop, if you will, as a partner. So it's basically that's the whole setup, more or less. But it's very well done. The production value is really good. It's really impressive how far network TV shows have come. I mean, this could be, it looks as good as a movie, I think. So I don't know. We've watched the first two episodes so far, and Mrs. Cheapy has given it the seal of approval. So thank you, Kags, for recommending that. And yeah, you should definitely check that out, guys.
And everyone, I want everyone to thank me. We are doing this show tonight instead of me watching Arrow with The Flash.
Right, I heard about that.
I could be watching Arrow with The Flash, which is kind of like me getting jizz on the floor. And instead, I'm doing this show with you guys.
Is that because it's The Flash?
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, well, we'll check it out. I don't know anything about it, but we'll
have both watched it by the next show.
Spun Xtane wrote in and wanted to know what our thoughts are about the Spidey 2 poster, which I don't know about. There was something with Wonder Woman today, right?
Yes, they cast
Spider-Man 2
one
thing first.
What's that?
Chipwreck saw that.
Because I'm a, like, Spider-Man's my favorite superhero.
You are a Spider-Man man.
Yes. That poster, oh God, it sucks.
Is it not the worst thing?
Well, now it's I have bad. To look it up. What is this thing?
I'll shoot it to you.
That shows the three villains that are going to be in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
So we already knew about Electro, the Jamie Foxx version of Electro. I'm not huge on the design of him, but I'm not totally against it either, because you can't
there
have
you
Electro
cheap,
with
the
big
outline.
Star-shaped lightning bolts coming off his head like he is in the comics. It's just not.
Yeah, he doesn't have to look like a daffodil. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that one. And then I knew Rhino was going to be in it. They had revealed that before. But what they show on the poster, he looks like...
Wait, what?
He looks like a Transformer.
What the fuck happened to Rhino?
It doesn't look like Rhino. And it actually, the costume, I mean, depending upon which era Rhino you're reading about, that like second skin costume is like a big part of the character and his psychosis, where, you know, he thinks the costume is stuck to him and that he can't take it off. But that's never really established if that's the truth or not, or if he's just crazy and thinks that the suit is part of him.
Well, it just...
But to stick him in a robot...
They try to make Spider-Man, like, edgy and cool and everything, and you don't need to do that with Spider-Man. Like, he's already cool. Like, he's beloved. Like, the villains have already been established. You don't need to come up with new stories for these guys. Just stick to the script.
Why is the Emperor in this movie?
Yep.
And then they've got Green Goblin flying around back there who looks exactly like, or very similar to New Goblin.
He looks a lot like Toad from the first X-Men movie.
That too. But just like him flying around on the glider and everything.
Yeah, that's another one where I love the look of comic book Green Goblin. Like classic Green Goblin comic. They like in Lego Marvel. I love that Green Goblin. And I wish they could find a way. The things they could do, they can make the Hulk in the Avengers look like the Hulk, but they can't make Green Goblin look like Green Goblin. They just have they just take a kid and paint his face green.
Interesting.
It's hard to get excited for.
It is. And it's going to make a lot of money anyway, so it doesn't matter that they are just screwing this up so badly. But
and by the way, the more villains that you cram into a single superhero movie, usually the shittier the movie is.
And there's a way to do it right and to do it well with multiple villains. And maybe they'll do that for this movie. I just don't, I don't know.
They're setting up for the Sinister Six, right? I mean, that's gotta be.
I could see that. That would make sense. You already had the Lizard. I don't know who they would bring in for the other two. But, you know, Sandman.
I still know that works in a 2-hour movie setting, though.
It's a lot to do.
It could be a cool fight scene, but you need character development in these things. Like, half of Spider-Man is Peter Parker. Like, you can't just have him being Spider-Man the entire time.
Yeah, that's what I say. Like, when you start adding so many villains, you wind up, there's no character development, not enough time for character development, and you wind up not giving a shit about any of the villains, which is sort of, you need to have some sort of empathy, I think, for the villains in a way. Otherwise, you just don't care.
It's a big part of why Spider-Man is good, is that he has a bunch of neat villains to fight against. It's the same thing why people like Batman. He's got good villains. I don't know why people like Superman, but we can talk about his
I like Superman's
sequel.
Villains. I like Brainiac. I like Mr.
Mix-it-Piddle-it. This sequel thing that's coming up, that the last Superman movie was so bad that it can't just be a Superman movie now for a sequel.
Now it has. See, they're doing the opposite. They're not doing too many villains. They're doing too many heroes, because now it has Batman and Wonder Woman.
Oh, like the, well,
Well, again, I don't, you know, at least with Spider-Man, I've seen pictures, and has there been a trailer? I feel like there was a trailer.
The Spider-Man trailer comes out, I think, when this episode comes out. It's supposed to come out 2 days after that poster.
I think it was leaked.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it might be leaked.
Yeah, I will reserve judgment on Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman when I see more, but I'm not, I'm going to be cautious.
My judgment went out the window once I saw Man of Steel.
Yeah, well, I didn't. The end of that movie was pretty terrible, but I didn't hate everything before it. I don't know.
But the ending was 45 minutes. That was the problem.
You know what? You're 100%.
I can't
correct.
Believe we didn't. Walk I can't out even of the argue theater, with you. By the way, somehow we forgot to walk out of the theater.
Oh, I was hoping there was going to be more bugs flying around with people riding on them.
Man.
Some more insects. Yeah. Insect or Sektars action going on.
Sektars, more Sektars action. Yeah,
more Sektars.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
all I'm asking.
You're breaking Wombat's heart. All right.
No, it's not that he's breaking my heart. It's that I know he's right. That's what hurts.
Right.
What hurts is him being, you know what? At least I have Arrow.
Yeah, Arrow's, yeah. Okay. New releases. Are we ready for new releases?
Sure. Let's do some. There aren't many, so go for it. There's only really one.
One second, while tech gaming
isn't Grant doesn't Gran Turismo come out this week or no?
That's the one. Yeah, it comes out on Friday.
Yeah.
Ah.
I don't know. Sure. I don't know anything
That's
about Gran
about
Turismo
it.
6.
Well, supposedly people are getting concerned about Gran Turismo because they, you know, they're doing the microtransaction thing. And people don't, there was some, I guess a couple of months ago, there was like a graphic release that had the prices of the cars, you know, the in-game currency prices of the cars. And now they've released what the actual currency would cost if you were to buy it. And that would, if those older prices were correct, then there's like a $150 car in real world dollars. So people are.
I don't understand what the point of this is. I don't get it. I mean, maybe I'm just old.
Well, the point is to catch, like we talked about last week, to catch these like suckers, basically. Who
I understand that, but then, you know, I have to think, like if I was a programmer on that game and I spent the better part of a couple of years developing, because I'm assuming that, like, I don't know. I'm making a bold assumption here. Like, you worked on that car. Like, that was your thing. I have to work on the graphics for this car to design it, the tires, the rims, the reflection, the shift knob on the inside, and you spend 3 years working on it to find, and you're like, I'm working on this car. This is a badass car. This is the most expensive. Like, if you bought this car in the real world, it would be the most expensive car in the game. And just to find out that when the game comes out, it costs $150 on top of the game, which means like 1% of the people that buy this game are going to see your work. Your art is going to be unappreciated by the masses. And that has to sting for the people making this game. It's kind of a slap in the face.
Well, I'm sure you can unlock it through normal gameplay, but you know, like what they've done in Forza, it seems, is they've just made it harder for you to get those cars through normal gameplay without actually spending real world dollars. But I have no idea if Gran Turismo is like that. And I don't, nobody does. Nobody, we don't even know if the pricing is correct still. So
we'll know by Friday.
We'll know soon. Exactly.
Yeah.
So the other big release, I'm guessing that's the big release you're talking about.
Yeah, that was the only one I was thinking of.
Well, for the DSi on DSiWare, Heathcliff Spot On came out.
The other big release.
Yeah. That, of course, is a Spot the Differences game starring everybody's second most favorite orange cat, Heathcliff.
He hates Tuesdays.
I forgot. What was Heathcliff's thing? I forget. Like, what was he all about? Even though I know I watched it.
He was the slummy Garfield. Like, he, like, lived in like
an alley.
Dump? An alley?
Something. No, yeah. He was owned by a little boy who wore sweater vests.
Really?
Heathcliff?
Yeah. Yeah.
So just his friends lived in the alley then?
Yeah. He had his friends that lived in the whatever, the junk.
And his girlfriend's name was Cleo. I remember that.
Huh.
Yep.
And don't forget about Top Cat.
Top Cat.
That's who I was
thinking
about.
That movie is on Netflix.
Yeah. All right. So is that it for the new releases?
That's it.
All right. Well, we have a returning sponsor that I'm happy to tell you about. Our friends at Stack Soap. Do you remember Stack Soap, Wombat?
It's the best stackable soap money can buy.
What does that mean, stackable soap?
Well, okay, so let's say you're using your soap. I use soap. Shipwreck uses soap.
Whoa. Hold on there. Using soap?
Yeah, I know. This is crazy talk. And you use your soap, and you use the bar soap because you're a man, and that's what men do.
Right.
And you wash yourself, and eventually the bar gets smaller and smaller and smaller till you're left with nothing but this little sliver, and it's hard to hold in your big manly hands.
Mm.
Now, if you add Stack Soap, you can open a new bar before that old bar is finished, and that old bar sliver will fit nicely in a groove in your Stack Soap. And as you wash, that soap will become one.
That's so beautiful.
And you can continue to do this. It's like having infinite soap.
That is awesome. So there's a big announcement for Stack Soap that we're
excited. It's the Hanukkah of soap. It's like one soap less 8 days.
It's a miracle, basically.
Exactly. It is miracle soap.
The miracle of soap. So Stack Soap, there's an all-new Stack Soap that is available exclusively at Whole Foods. Okay? And this is a special Stack Soap because it's at Whole Foods, and I guess, you know, they're pretty demanding. They have to use, even better ingredients using essential oils for fragrance. Now, we are encouraging our listeners to buy this stack soap at Whole Foods. Now, if you live in one of these seven states, Shipwreck, you're so lucky because you're right on this list in Ohio. So if you have a Whole Foods in one of these seven states, you can buy stack soap. Ohio, Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., South New Jersey. Is that their own state?
It's a new
now?
State. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't know they divided New Jersey into Southern New Jersey and Northern New Jersey.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a new 51st state.
And Kentucky. So those are the seven...
Which actually, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a Whole Foods in Kentucky closer to Shipwreck than one in Ohio.
Hmm.
About equal distance to me.
There you go. See? I called it.
So go to Whole Foods, buy stack soap.
And you forgot to mention the scents.
What scents?
It comes in peppermint, jasmine, or unscented.
Yes. They're also, if you don't have a Whole Foods, you can buy them at Amazon. But if you do have a Whole Foods, we want you to buy them at Whole Foods because Stack Soap is a great sponsor and it helps them out because then Whole Foods will buy more if you buy
that's
them.
That's big, yeah, getting into a major retailer like that.
Right. And it sounds like it's like sort of a trial thing. So Stack Soap has really, you know, been nice enough to sponsor this show. So maybe you get in your car and you go to Whole Foods and buy it, and it makes a great stocking stuffer, especially if you have very smelly family members. You can buy them for your whole family and friends and drop them in the stockings. And go to
You can drop it in the stockings and hit them with them.
Yeah, if you have a friend that you need to code red, then Stack Soap is great because you can use infinite code reds, I think, on your friends and family.
Who ordered the code red?
Go to stacksoap.com.
I think I'd want to smell like peppermint.
Sure.
What do you think, Mrs. Wombat? What? Should I smell like peppermint or jasmine? Peppermint. There you go.
great answer. We once gave one of my fraternity brothers a code red because he was such a sound sleeper, such a heavy sleeper, that he would set his alarm off in his dorm room, and it just would, he would not wake up, and it was such a loud alarm, and it would just, so it would wake up everybody else but him. So we went in there and we gave him a code red. He didn't like it, in case you're wondering.
Really? What a shock.
He was,
it sounds
upset.
Very appropriate.
Anyway, so go to Stack Soap, go to the Whole Foods there, stacksoap.com. Thank you, Stack Soap. We appreciate it. let's move on to Microsoft and the Xbox One, because now finally I can chime in with the rest of you
so
guys.
So you're the man of the hour. What do you think of the Xbox One?
Well, let's talk about the setup for the Xbox One. Let's go from the very beginning, because I thought it was kind of strange that you have to go and just download all these different apps that most people would probably just want to have anyway sitting on the box. But literally, you have to go. You want Netflix, you got to download Netflix. You want Hulu, download Hulu. You want Skype, you got to download Skype.
Same thing that PlayStation 4 did.
Yep, same thing. But if you want the Upload Studio, you got to download that. You want SkyDrive, you got to download that. Everything, you just have to go through and download it one at a time, which, you know, it seemed like it could have been a lot more user-friendly.
I prefer that way. Just because, I mean, we're not talking about egregious amounts of time here to download these things.
Yeah, and I don't have Hulu Plus, so I'm glad I didn't have to have that space wasted.
It's a tiny amount of space.
And it's a quick download, so I don't see what your problem is.
Well, now you're queuing up. But so I'm talking about for like I bought one of these things for my dad, and he hasn't set it up yet because they're flying south for the winter. And I'm curious about how he goes through this setup process. And so also,
I would say the finding of the apps is clunky at best.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. It's hard to figure out.
It's not that you have to download them, but the way that app store is, there's no way to view all apps easily. Like it took me a while to be like, oh, I could click on those three squares, those tiny three squares underneath those squares, and then I could see more stuff. That's not intuitive.
Right. I had a hard time. That's what I'm sort of saying, is I had a hard time locating the apps to begin with, you know, right on the front screen
but
there.
But that's not
says,
what you said. Okay. But okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying if they were already on the console.
You have a hard time launching them then. I mean, it's not, it's not an issue of them not being installed. It's an issue of organization, which, yeah, the Xbox One Dash needs some organization.
Because I'm looking under this right on the front screen. It says My Apps and Games. I'm like, okay, apps. Give me the apps. And there's no apps in there. And then you got it. So then obviously it's in the store, even though these things are free. I don't know. It seemed like, considering that this is like the major selling point, one of the major selling points for the Xbox One is that it's going to be your media center. Why are you making it so difficult for me to find these things? And why would it really have killed them to just have it down there? Or just say, you know, maybe just auto-download, have an option just to auto-download all TV apps. I mean, they're really small. They're like, these are small files, right?
Yeah, but I don't need them all.
Okay. I don't need them all.
But you can delete them if you don't need them.
I don't like the PlayStation 4. It shows me all of the ones, even the ones I don't have installed.
It does? Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, it shows you in the, like, I have my Hulu, I have my Netflix, the stuff I have, but then it has, like, Crackle and Vudu or whatever the other ones are that I don't
use. Yeah, I didn't download Crackle or Vudu on the Xbox either. I downloaded Netflix and I downloaded Amazon and NFL, FX, and CW. I think those are the only apps I downloaded.
But I guess what I'm saying is the setup could have been more intuitive in that it could have led me through all these things.
The menus, the way to find things in all three stores, although I haven't looked in the video store, so I don't know. But in the game store and the app store is not well set up. And they need to have a better, like, one of those boxes should just be view all apps.
Right.
And you can click it and it goes to a menu and I don't have to, like, and I could just see what everything that's available is.
It's all going to come, though. I mean,
yeah.
That is all going to come. And I still have yet to find a demo on the Xbox One. I haven't Bing demos yet.
Yeah, you just have to say Xbox Bing demo. But again, it's ridiculous. There's no categories. They need to set up categories. Yeah. Like, once they
there's
said,
no categories.
We're
I
not
don't know.
Have Xbox Live Arcade games. I was like, oh, no. Because now, like, how many people are going to go find Power Star Golf now? Like,
yeah,
nobody.
Who wants to put things in files when you could just dump all your papers on the floor in the middle of the ground?
Yeah. And like things like the voice control, like you have to, there's an app to teach you how to use the voice control when it's such a central part of the machine. Why doesn't it just lead you through it while you're setting it up?
Is that what that app does?
Yeah.
I didn't try that app. Should I download it and do it for shits and giggles?
Well, it just teaches. I mean, if you already know how to use it, it doesn't like train the Kinect to use your voice better or anything like that.
And it
that.
Doesn't give you avatar items like the old one did?
No,
it doesn't do that. On the 360?
It just trains you how to do it. But that should be, you know, it's a huge part of the system. It should just be there right when you start it up. It should show you how to do that.
I don't think so. I don't plan on doing it. I don't know. It's I guess it's good to have it there, but I don't need to be trained on it.
Like, okay, well,
I'll get around to it.
I'm looking. Well, okay, fine. Anyway, the voice, I'm very impressed, though, with how the voice stuff does work. It almost works 100% for me. You know, I did the, it does, what it does do is it leads you through the Kinect setup, which, you know, you calibrate the camera and the microphone. And I think some people, they may rush through that and they may not see the little note that tells you when it's testing the microphone to turn up your speakers louder than normal.
Oh, I did that.
Okay.
I think it forced me to do that.
Well,
like it said that my speakers weren't loud enough.
Oh, okay. But I do that and it hears me, like I don't have to shout. I don't have to, you know, just talk in a normal voice and it works really, really well and everything moves really fast. So I'm really impressed with that. What
I've
doesn't
some
work
complaints that everything is its own little app now, like your friends and your achievements and everything. They all have their own little apps,
right?
I think it's better that way. I think it's like, if you look at how like slogged down the old Xbox 360 dashboard, became, it was because all of that stuff was always running. You always had all your achievements built into the OS. You always had all your friends built into the OS, or OS, whatever you want to call it.
It's called an OS. No one says OS.
It's nobody does, but I grew up with Max, and so it always looked like Mac OS to me.
Look, Shipwreck is always right. If he says it's OS, it's OS.
Okay? It's not OS.
Okay, tell me about the wonderful Wizard of OS.
Say OS because it's shorter than saying OS every time. But
kiss my OS.
But yeah, it just, I like that it's different little apps because they load quickly. It lets me know that like this is what I'm looking at. Like I learn where the stuff is at. Like the Friends app is really good. I don't know. I've seen people complain about that, and I think that's there to stay. All these little apps.
That's just I agree with you for the most part. I just think that there is an elegance to the current setup that's missing, and I think there's a middle ground that needs to be found.
It'll get there, though. I mean,
I agree with you. It'll get there.
Overall, though, I'm really impressed with you know, like I said, how the voice stuff works. The Netflix and Hulu stuff is pretty awesome to be able to control that with a voice. And I'm used to using Apple TV for that stuff. And the apps on the Xbox and probably the PlayStation is probably the same, minus the voice control stuff. But it's just far superior.
The PlayStation does have some voice control stuff.
Okay. You need the camera or you can use the...
I think you can use both. Who knows?
I think you can use like that headset that comes with it.
Yeah.
Well, that I'm not going to do, obviously. I'm not going to put on a headset.
I'm just letting you know. Right.
The whole point, the nice thing about the voice stuff on Xbox is you don't even need to turn the controller on or have it near you. You're just good to go. The Skype, I Skyped with my parents this morning and it worked really good. They were really impressed with how good it looked, even though they're not on their Xbox yet.
Did you have your son walk in and out of frame all the time so they could see how it shifts automatically?
Yep, they were super impressed with that.
Isn't that the coolest?
it's Mega Skype. It's the best Skype ever.
It is the best Skype ever.
I like too is that the games are always running in the background. Like, so I can be playing Rise or whatever, and if Gretchen comes in and wants to watch TV, then I can just go to the TV, like it just switches over to TV real quick. And then once she leaves the room, I can switch back and continue playing Rise where I left off at.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have to wait for like everything to load up again. You don't have to watch those title screens or any of that. You just go right back into the game. And yeah, even with me on Sunday, you know, we played Lego Marvel together and then, you know, we watched some TV and then all the kids went to bed and I'm like, I'm going to play more Lego Marvel. And I was able to pick up right from where we were, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, the app switching is pretty awesome. You know, PlayStation doesn't have that. I don't know if they're supposed to have that. I think they said they are. I don't know. But it's pretty
impressive.
That'll
come to the PlayStation in time, kind of like Twitch on the Xbox. There are things that one doesn't have and one does that in time they'll be on.
Sure. And of course, the whole thing's going to be totally different in like 2 years. You know.
Yes.
So
with Xbox, it seems like it might be like less than that.
Right. There's a lot of complaints out there that people have. What else can I say? The one annoying thing is that when I'm doing the voice stuff, like Ty is obviously totally fascinated with it. So as soon as I say Xbox, Ty has to jump in and try to get the Xbox to do stuff. And you know what? It doesn't really work with kids' voices, I find.
No, it doesn't work well with children's voices.
And I Googled it, and I found that other people were having the same problem. And I know one CAG had written in, and he was concerned for the opposite reason, like he didn't want his kids controlling it.
Well, you just sounded like you don't want your kid controlling it, and I don't want mine controlling it. It's not like I don't give Sabrina the television remote and tell her to go to town.
Right, right. So it's not necessarily a bad thing, but
I think it's a very intentional thing.
Maybe. I don't know. The other thing that I complained about last week, and now that I've had to deal with it firsthand, is I, you know, still no mount on the Kinect. I mean, I used mailing tape to tape that thing to the top of my TV. It's not very elegant, I have to say. And the official mount that costs $20 is not even out. So I don't know. How do you not just build in a little clip? I still don't understand that. But whatever. I guess it is what it is. Z-Force wrote in and suggested Velcro instead, but I don't have any Velcro. I have tape, so I use the tape.
And they don't sell Velcro in Japan.
They do. They call it, you know, they call it...
Velcro?
I think they call it magic tape, actually.
Velcro-san?
Velcro-san, yes. They call it Velcro-san. what else can we say about the... I have the one problem I have with the voice commands is that when I do Xbox on, it only works like 10% of the time.
Oh, really? That always works for me.
Everything else pretty much always works, but Xbox on... And I've seen other people complain about this as well. It just... sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And same with the automatic turning on and off of the TV set. It usually works, but I don't know, maybe 80, 75% of the time it works properly.
Oh, it doesn't turn on my TV. That may be a setup.
You got to set that up.
You have to set that
up.
Yeah,
I don't think I set that up.
It has to be, I mean, it's sending out, similar to our super remotes, it's sending out IR blasters.
Right.
So there might be some kind of adjusting the position and everything. That way it bounces off stuff to hit your TV.
But why would it work sometimes and not other times?
It could depend on where you are located in the room, because it might be bouncing off you sometimes.
Oh.
Or if something else has moved in the room.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. The one thing that I find is it hardly ever recognizes me. Like, it's supposed to do
facial recognition. I find that's 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I would say 50% of the time I have to go in there and say, hey, it's me, recognize me. And it tells me, oh, we'll do a better job next time. And I stop trusting them now. They've said that one too many times.
I heard it doesn't work well with gingers. Is that the problem?
That could be
that
it.
That could be it.
I don't know.
With me, it might be when I set my console up, I was wearing contact lenses, but 5 days a week, I don't wear contact lenses. So I'm wondering if my glasses are throwing it off.
If you go through and say, this is me enough times, then it'll just eventually go, I don't know if this is you or not, but I'm going to sign you in because you're the person that signed into this thing 95% of the time.
Again,
we've got the tall one, we've got the short one, we got this down.
Yeah. Again, this is something that you'd think would be easily fixable in a software update. But overall, I'm really impressed. I haven't used my Apple TV since I got it 2 days ago. I hope, you know, it's missing some apps that I would use, like NHL and HBO Go. But other than that, I'm very impressed with the Kinect.
What about the games?
The games, yes. So let's talk about Rise and Godfrey from Gamertag Radio.
Gamertag Radio.
Wants to know Rise, yay or nay. Now, Shipwreck, you've played about, I think, 4 hours. I looked at your profile.
Yeah, I'm probably about, I don't know, 75%.
That's exactly what it actually says, 75% on your profile.
Huh. How about that?
Yep. So what do you think?
Oh, I like Rise. Rise is right up my alley. I think the combat's good. The cinematics are good. The game looks nice. It offers a nice challenge if you want it to. And if you don't, it's pretty forgiving as well.
What level are you? I bought it too. I'm only about 45 minutes in. But what level are you playing on? Which difficulty?
Are there four difficulties?
I believe there are four. Probably the highest one is probably locked at start.
Yeah, I think I chose the middle one.
Yeah, so me too.
Yeah. But I think I'm going to go back and play on a harder difficulty when I finish it, just because I feel like I'm much better at the combat now than I was when I started off.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a fun game. It's a little bit shallow in that, yeah, you're going around and you're basically clearing out little rooms or arenas full of dudes. And there's not much, like, I don't know, RPG elements or crafting or anything like that type of stuff. You do
it's a
like
beat 'em up.
Up stuff, but yeah, it's a beat 'em up.
Would so, I like it?
I do like it so far. And it was, I didn't tell Mrs. Chibi anything about the game except, you know, I knew obviously that it's a really good looking game. All I told her was that it's a Roman game and it's really violent. So it was really fun to watch her, you know, when you start the game, obviously there's a cutscene that kicks things off. And when the game goes from cutscene to gameplay, and it's just, you know, it's all in game, she was pretty shocked. She's like, wow. She's like, this is the game. So yeah, we like it so far.
Just smashing pots.
Yep. And I'm smashing a lot
stuff
of pots.
Like, kind of just disappears for a while. Like early on in the game, it's like gives you all these jars and pots you can break. For no reason, really.
Well, you get points.
Yeah, you get points. But other than that, there's no like in-game reason as to why Marius would be going around smashing every pot he saw.
He's an angry guy. Come on. He's got a lot to be angry about. I would, if I went through what he had going through, I would just be smashing everything all day, all night. So
fair enough.
I watched your video, Cheapy. That looked cool.
It is cool how you can say Xbox record that. And I also know, and it records the last 30 seconds, but it also, I've noticed that it'll just record stuff for you automatically at certain points, right?
For some games, that's not every game.
Yeah. I think that's, it's probably, I don't know, those stages are probably ones that it records for everybody.
Yeah.
But,
and
yes.
I think I played the FIFA demo and I scored a goal and I think it automatically recorded it or something like that. We're having fun with it. I'm looking forward to playing more of it. I don't necessarily know why the game was scored so low. It seems fine. Totally fine. Fun. It's fun. It looks great. It's not broken in any way. It's, I don't know. Seems good to me. Shrugs shoulders. And actually, Ginoli writes in and he says, do you think the low review scores are a result of the reviewers basically playing the game nonstop in order to meet a deadline? Do you think playing in shorter sessions similar to a normal gamer would lead to a more accurate review of the game? I find that I value the opinions of people on podcasts and normal gamers a lot more than reviewers rushing to get their review out first. I think that's a problem with reviews in general. Sometimes you get review copies of a game and they give you, you know, 3 weeks. You know, it just depends on how soon the game is ready. Like, I think Saints Row 4, it was like almost a month they gave you to play through the game. I don't know about Rise, how far in advance the game was delivered. Well,
but if you're doing a review for Rise 2, you are going to power through it pretty quickly. And it's going to seem more repetitive if you sat down and played it for 6 hours straight.
Yeah, especially when you know the game only is going to take about 6 hours to play through. Yeah, you're probably going to want to power through it. So yeah, you should always keep that in mind when reading reviews. And you know, when I look at review scores, I just make sure like the game doesn't get like a, you know, like the game's not broken, basically. And if it sounds like something I would like, I would still give it a shot anyway.
And I haven't tried out the multiplayer yet either.
No, there's co-op too, isn't there?
Yeah, there's co-op as well. But I don't know what that. I don't know what the co-op entails. If that's just like multiplayer style co-op, or surely it's not co-op through the main game. That wouldn't make sense.
I don't know either. But well, maybe we could check that out in time for next week. Hmm? I did notice that there are microtransactions in the game where it's you can, when you level up your guy and upgrade your guy, you can use, like you said last week, you can use the in-game experience, the valor, or you can buy real gold. With real gold and do it. But it seems pretty generous with the, you know,
it's super generous. And like I said last week too, you can build up a lot of like of the valor points and then die and you get to keep them. And so you could just farm for the points if you wanted to, like by playing a section with a lot of guys and then dying with the last guy.
Oh, I see. Right. There's no penalty for dying at all, right?
No, it just sticks you right back.
Pride.
Yeah,
I have no pride. Dude, I just told you how I jizzed on the floor.
I know. You don't have to remind us.
I wanted to. I thought you might have forgotten.
No. It's in the brain.
So yeah, I mean, I like Rise. The arms come off. What more do you need? You cut off legs.
Have you unlocked the leg one? It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Slice through somebody's thigh.
Do I need to get this game? Is that what you guys are saying?
I think you do.
Would we play together? Is how many people in co-op?
I don't know. I don't even know if it's online co-op or what. I don't know anything about it.
It's definitely online co-op.
Oh, okay. It's probably just two player co-op, but we could, we don't know. Can you decapitate people later?
Yes.
Yes. I haven't unlocked that.
I think,
that one
well, yet. There's specific moments that there are definitely decapitations.
In the cutscenes I've seen.
There's a lot of throat stabbing, so I might be getting some of the decapitations confused with throat stabbing.
Right. We'll have to, we'll report back. Have you unlocked all the executions yet?
Not quite, because I did a lot of the skill upgrade tree first.
Yeah, I need to. I'm not quite sure I understand all that stuff. I need to.
The way I work with those games is however much money I have, I just right. buy whatever I can afford and then just figure out, like, it's going to be fine. Like, yeah. I don't have to put much thought into my upgrade tree here.
Right. Okay, so that's Rise. We like it. How about Forza 5? You've played more of it than I have.
Yeah, I've played, I don't know, like 3 hours of it or so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Three, four hours. I'm liking it. I'm terrible at it. The drivatars are ridiculous.
Why are you so bad at the game?
I'm getting better now that I have a couple of the faster cars. I mean, some of it's just like if you are not clicking with a car, like the way that you need to brake and the handling and everything, you're just not going to be very good the first couple races.
Are you playing on?
You need to get the Fiesta.
I was gifted the Fiesta.
I was gifted the Fiesta as well.
Nice. You guys need to use it. Let me know how it is.
I don't think so, dude. I started with a BMW 1M, so I don't think I'm going to be going to the Fiesta.
Ah, you don't know what you're missing.
I might.
Drives like a dream on a cloud.
Are you angling for a free Fiesta or something?
I think it's too late for that.
Oh, you were angling for it.
Once. No.
In a dream.
No. Yeah.
Are you playing with all the assists on, Chip? Are you playing on
No,
easy?
I turned some of the assists off just because you get credits.
Right.
Higher credits, and it wasn't really affecting my finish position.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm going to get better at it. Like, there's certain times where you feel like you're in a groove and you do well, and then other times it's just like, I don't know, I'm just crashing into everything, and I'm getting T-boned by different drivatars, and little bit of it is just me remembering what the tracks are.
Are you playing with the in-car camera?
50-50. I switch back and forth between in-car and the behind-car view. It just depends. I like the feel of the in-car camera, but at the same time, I like to see the cars.
Right. You want to see your car and all the other. Yeah, I guess so. The sound is awesome. The sound is really, really awesome. The engine sounds. I turned the music off, which you should probably do because it's sort of a weird choice of music there. But
and I got all my credits from ForzaRewards.net or whatever the goofy site is.
Rewards.ForzaMotorsport.net.
Yeah, I didn't even know about that. So I got, I don't know, million credits for doing nothing.
Yeah, then, if I get like 40 more points, I'm going to get 4 million credits because I'll be tier 4 because I played the shit out of the other games. But I don't know. I haven't gotten to any of the microtransaction stuff yet, so I can't talk about that really. But the driving seems awesome. I still say that the game needs more anti-aliasing. Like when you're looking at the auto vista mode, it still seems a little pixely to me. Apparently I was talking to Super Programmer John, and he was saying that if you compare the E3 build of the game and the retail release, you can see that they've turned off some of the effects. So I don't know. So far,
it still looks really good.
Yeah, it still
to me it does. Like I'm definitely not the type of Forza player that I don't even know what most of these cars are that I'm buying, and I don't know the tracks. Like I don't have all the tracks memorized and everything. So to me, it's a perfectly fine racing game. I don't see any issues with it.
And you don't have any problem with the macro transactions?
Well, no, because I got that million credits, and so I just about have a car that can compete in every one of the different race types.
But you don't feel like, you don't feel like it's just too much and that you're not getting the full game? That's the problem that I'm afraid I'm going to have.
I think the problem is there's not that many tracks in the game.
Yes.
And my main, deterrent is that it's it's like a lot of other Forza games. It's very sterile. Like, it's like, okay, I'm going to go do my 8 2-lap races with my Ford Fiesta, and then I'm going to go do my 8 races with my Subaru Impreza, and then I'm going to go do my 8 races with, I don't know, my Enzo. And then, I don't know, that's what the game is. So,
it to me, those kind of games lack the appeal of the more arcadey Need for Speed, big jumps and ramming cars. No,
it's a totally different type of game, because this is
it's like, I hear you talking about it, I'm like, why do people hey, if you like it, more power to you.
It's car porn. Car nerds.
It's the technical side of gaming. Like, it's all about, hey, I'm going to play this game and I'm going to get really good at taking this turn correctly or making this pass without, like, it gives you like perfect pass and good turn and stuff, like, so you know you're doing stuff right. And it's, people get caught up in that.
I guess so.
I'm curious, because the Forza team said that they were still looking into adjusting the in-game economy because of all the complaints, and I'm hoping that it wasn't just limited to a Black Friday sale. So I would still suggest, if you're looking to pick this game up now, check out eBay, see if you can get a download code on the cheap, or, you know, buy it used or whatever, until they really do a real fix instead of, you know, a Black Friday sale.
Seeing all the DLC already is kind of a deterrent to me too, though. Like, yeah. I go to buy a car and I'm like hovering on the car. I'm like, oh, well, this one's a little bit better than this one. I'll go with this one. Then I see the little DLC icon in the corner. I'm like,
why? Right?
Really?
Why?
Like, this is brand new. Like, why are half of these cars DLC?
It's weak. It's very weak. And, you know, it's been like that for a while, but that's no excuse, really, just because it's been like that before. I mean, it's only continues to be like that because people are supporting it. You know, the $50 season pass, and you still have to buy the cars with in-game currency, even after you pay them $50 for a season pass. So hopefully we'll see some more adjustments from the Forza team. What else? I got, Cag was kind enough to gift me Power Star Golf, and I played a little bit of that. It does not strike me as a next gen game when you start playing this. It looks fine, but it looks like an Xbox 360.
It's a $20 game, right?
Yeah, I think so. But it's, you know, as a golf game, it seems perfectly serviceable and fun, but just the way it looks, there's nothing about it that screams next gen. As far as I can tell, there's no Kinect fanciness in it. It, you know, it doesn't look that great, but I don't know. It does some neat stuff where apparently there's no online play, but it keeps track of how everybody, all people on your friends list have done on each hole. So it puts markers on the course, like how far they've driven the ball or how, you know, close they got to the pin and things like that. So that part's kind of cool, but like I said, it doesn't have that next gen shine to it, which is kind of what you're looking for launch titles. And I think that's all I've played on the Xbox at this point.
You spent 45 minutes talking about 3 games. I think you've done pretty good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that we need to talk about on Xbox? What was this thing, Wamba? You must have put this on here, right?
Did you go to the website? What's it called?
I did. Xbox Feedback, was it?
Feedback, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yes. Have you gone to that website?
Xboxfeedback.com. I did. It's a very nice looking website, actually.
It is. They did a really good job of kind of compiling everyone's issues. And apparently, Major Nelson has already read it and on Reddit. And they're working on fixing people's complaints. A lot of them we already had discussed in this episode.
That's why I tell people, like, you know, complaining is not a bad thing these days. It really makes things happen. So when we complain about microtransactions, we complain about, you know, DRM and no used games, things we see that people make a difference.
This is also, it's not complaints. The way they put this out is like, hey, this is a suggestion.
Yeah, we are the community of owners of this console. We are enjoying our product, but
right. Let's use the word criticism instead of complaints.
And I don't, and some of these I don't think you'll ever see. I don't think you're going to see support for 360 accessories. I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I do like the idea of a loading bar on the initial update. I can definitely see people thinking that it wasn't working because it's just the green screen.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That freaks everybody out when that happens.
Yes. I think, you know, right now you can change your color, but I miss themes.
I don't care about themes.
But it's something that's on here.
Slows your console down to me.
You could turn your console off with the controller.
No, themes.
Oh, themes. Gotcha.
Themes are just something that is going to slow down your console for no reason.
That's true. I like the idea of a battery indicator on the home screen.
Yeah, there's a lot of work that needs to be done for sure, right?
Yeah, I mean, but some of these suggestions are very good.
Yeah, and it was presented in a nice way on this xboxfeedback.com website.
Xbox will knock out the ones on this list that they have already started on.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I wouldn't be surprised if they already started on, nothing wrong with that.
Mm-mm.
I also like the way the friends, you can follow people on this. You don't need to get like a...
But you know what I don't like is people are sending me messages saying that they've sent me friend requests, but I don't have any friend requests.
There's no friend requests anymore, right? You get follow. So if people add you as a friend, they become your followers automatically. If you follow them back, then they're your friends.
That sounds too complicated and annoying.
Why? It's better that way.
It sounds better.
It isn't though.
Why?
Because if someone wants me to be their friend, they should be able to send me a friend request.
Well, they send
if
you a
they
message.
If they want to just follow me, then they should just follow me. I'd rather have the messages and be able to one button push add friend than to have to go through.
But if they want to be your, if they want you to follow them back, they'll just send you a message.
But you can't. But I can't friend them from the message.
You can. You can.
Not with one button.
You're right.
Not like on the 360 where there was a button that said "Add Friend."
You have to go click on their picture.
It's a pain in the ass.
Yes,
It went from a one button push process to a three button push process, and that is not acceptable. Period.
It's a little better on the
it's
app.
It's pretty acceptable.
Unacceptable.
No, there's not a period after that. I mean, we're accepting it right now.
Yeah, it's true.
It's fine.
It is unacceptable, comma.
It could be better, is what you're saying.
Yes.
What else we got here?
There's a lot of studios making indie games.
All right. Cool.
Yeah, that's good.
Joestar wrote in and said there's a problem with the Xbox One's party system, but I haven't used it yet, so I don't know anything about it.
Me neither. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I... Well, yeah, I don't know. I've never used it.
J. Rortega 2K10 wants to know if Wombat thought having both the TV speakers and soundbar on gave him 4.1 surround sound. Please read this on the CADcast.
No.
Did you resolve
Although
that?
Although I had sound issues with my console this week. So I turned on, you know, my TV, my Xbox, and the soundbar, and I wasn't getting any sound at all. When, you know, I was watching TV and it just, there was no sound. And it was weird because my soundbar was set up properly and it was working the day before. When I turned the soundbar off, the TV speakers worked fine with the Xbox. And I thought that was kind of weird. So I unplugged. I had it running
Let's go back to this. I just want to figure out your setup here.
Okay.
This should be
so good. The cable box goes HDMI into the Xbox 3, into the Xbox One. The Xbox One HDMI goes into the receiver, which is actually the subwoofer on the soundbar, but it doesn't matter for this conversation. And then an HDMI goes from the subwoofer into my television.
That's right.
Correct.
Yes. That is the whole setup. It's
okay.
Not
good.
We're not talking, you know, brain surgery here. But the sound stopped working, turned the sound bar off, the sound coming out of my TV speakers was fine.
That's so weird.
And I don't know why it was happening. Why with the sound bar off, would I even get any sound at all? I don't know, but that's just how it works. So I unplugged my console from the sound bar. Plugged it directly into the TV, you know, the HDMI into the HDMI port in my TV. Yeah. And I had optical cables because that's how I was using my PlayStation 3 before, because I didn't have enough outlets on the back of the subwoofer. So I used that old optical cable, and I said, I wonder if the optical cable will work on the Xbox One to the
soundbar.
To the soundbar, and that worked.
It sounds like it's probably a handshaking issue.
Right.
I'm sure
it's... figure out what order to turn these things on in to get it to turn on right every time.
Because it used to work, right?
It used to work, but now I have it running through the optical cable, and it sounds just fine, and I don't know if I want to mess with it, to be perfectly honest. Does it really matter?
Right.
Like, why mess with something that's working now without a problem? Honestly, I think the sound may even be a little bit better, but again, it could just have, like, exactly like you said, just been a weird handshaky issue. I don't know. Again, I'm not rocking this boat until it breaks again, so... Right. But there you go. That's the story. No, it was set up properly. It just not working. Mm.
See,
I blame my soundbar before anything else.
So we were talking about the following thing on Xbox, and Matt Westcott wrote in, and he said that his favorite new feature on each of the new consoles is following people. He says, I was surprised on how great the ability to follow people on Xbox One has been. I now follow CBD, Wombat, and Cobra Commander. Who's Shipwreck's alias, and many others in the game industry, and it's been awesome to see their profile show up in my games, giving me the ability to compete against their high scores in games like Forza 5 or Need for Speed Rivals and see their progress. Yeah, when before it would require a, or on PS4 it requires a, you know, an acceptance on the other side. So that is a good new feature. Blue Rock writes in and says, 6 months ago, we had two CADcast hosts explaining how they parked their Kinect 1.0 in the closet. Now we have three CADcast hosts, all with their Kinect 2.0s hooked up front and center. Even though the new one is bigger than the last and comes with no TV stand, my question would be, do any of the CAG hosts have any inkling as to whether they will still have their Kinects hooked up 6 months from now? As long as this voice shit keeps working, and I'm going to totally use it. For me, it works great. It's not going anywhere.
Is it really bigger?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm staring at both of them right now. It doesn't look like... It's just a different shape. But, I mean, if you're looking at, you know, how long it is, it's definitely, you know, it's stockier. The old Kinect was longer in the front.
The old Kinect maybe looks wider a little bit, and it has it that stand, wider. Right?
It has a little stand, but it's definitely wider.
It's probably more voluminous, but it probably, I don't know.
I have to say that the new
one
is bigger.
More surface area.
I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's
exactly.
The fact that this one doesn't actually move at all, that all the, you know, the zooming in and out is done on the software level, is kind of nice.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's no
cool
reason
that it
to
works.
Unhook it this time around. Like, before, I mean, I unhooked it on my main setup and took it downstairs to play Baller Beats, but like, you weren't using it on a regular basis, so it's just kind of an annoyance that it was there all the time.
Right.
And now it does everything. Like, it's going to auto sign you in. It's going to, you talk to it to switch between things or
Mega Skype.
Yeah, use Skype. Like, it has a purpose now because it's been built around it rather than it being an add-on.
Yep. No, it's going to stay there unless it catches me doing something.
Unless that tape comes up.
Right, it has to stay there. It's stuck now. Otherwise, my TV will be all sticky.
The odd thing in, though, is going to be like the secondary Xbox Ones. Like, I have an Xbox 360 in my bedroom, and I don't know if I'm going to be hooking up the Xbox One camera in my bedroom.
Waka waka wah, waka waka wah. You got to get that privacy shield.
I don't know. It just seems like, I don't know, even with the privacy shield, it just seems weird.
Well, you can always unplug it.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the bedroom Xbox One may not have a Kinect attached to it.
Okay, there you go. Let's see what else we got here. Have you guys been playing? You don't have Wombat. You didn't buy Assassin's Creed?
No. I have enough. I have a backlog already, and the console's two weeks old.
Gotcha. Ship, have you played any more?
Yeah, I've been playing some.
K-Ka-Sex wrote in and asks, is Assassin's Creed 4 that good, or is the lack of next-gen games talking? If Watch Dogs had come out, would you have cared to try it? Even Shipwreck likes it, and he's given up on the whole franchise. Yeah, I think
I need to run away for a minute. I'll be back ahead. Shortly.
I mean, I've played a lot more Assassin's Creed. I'm playing on PS4. I think the game's incredible. I think it's the best Assassin's Creed ever. I love the ship battles. I love attacking the forts. I love, you know, upgrading the ship. I think it's amazing. I think it looks incredible. It looks next gen. I can't really recommend it enough. I'm so glad that I gave up on Assassin's Creed 3 after a few hours because maybe, I don't know, because that seemed like the total right move.
Yeah, it gave you the year break that you needed.
Exactly. And I know, like, I knew pretty quickly after playing this one that I'll be finishing Assassin's Creed 4. It's just one of those games that I'm definitely going to make it to the end. I mean, I like just driving the boat, sailing the boat around and just, you know, getting into random battles with other ships. I mean, that's just, that part is fun. I love boarding the ships and just kicking the shit out of everybody. It's great. Have you gotten to the underwater stuff yet? I haven't.
No, I've not done any underwater stuff.
Apparently there's underwater stuff.
I think I'm 20% through the game, but a lot of that percentage is me just going and chasing items down.
Yeah, so it's great.
I need to get more into the story to decide if it's great or not, but it's a fun game.
Yeah, I highly recommend. Even if you were totally turned off by Assassin's Creed 3, I think, I don't know, I couldn't recommend it highly enough.
I still really wish, if there was a surface like that's not going to lead me anywhere, like, don't let me run up it. Like, I'm not trying to run up this wall that then I'm going to fall back down and then run up this wall again and then fall back down and run up this wall again.
Right.
I'm really just trying to run past this wall.
Right. That's a good point.
Like, it wouldn't be that hard, I don't think, to say, hey, don't let him interact with this environment.
Right.
There's never any time that you want to run up a wall and then fall right back down.
No, there's no benefit to that. Why would you do that?
I don't know. That's why I'm wondering why my character is doing it. Chase down a assassination target or a courier or something, and my guy's just like running up this tree trunk and then falling back down.
Right. Can you log into Uplay? Are you able
to? Who knows?
Because they have this second screen stuff and with mini game, like this fleet mini game thing. And I have yet to be able to log into Uplay. And it looks cool, but it does not work. And I Googled around and it said that apparently if you have over 100 friends, then you will not be able to log in and never be able to use it.
Perfect.
So they should probably fix that, because I would like to check it out.
It's only for people who aren't internet superstars.
right. I guess. Yeah, but it looks cool. That's the problem. Like, you know, it would give Mrs. Cheapy something to do on the couch while we play, because she can look at the map and look at the treasure maps and play with the fleet and all that good stuff. But
I've been at the point where I'm starting to consider upgrading my second screen device.
Aha.
So, because I still have a first generation iPad. I've got my iPhone.
Oh, you want the mini, the Retina mini is what you want.
I think I do.
I think you do want that.
Or a Surface. Do I want a Surface?
No, you don't want that.
Okay.
Let's not be ridiculous here. No, I would, the mini is the best. I don't have the Retina one, but even just the plain old mini gets a lot more use than the full size iPad.
I've got a mini sitting here next to me.
Oh,
because I got one. Well, I got one at Target in case anybody wanted one as a gift.
The Retina one?
I don't know if it's the Retina one or not. It was the one they had, and it came with a gift card. So I don't know. I was in Target, and it was there.
Right. That's what you do. You go to Target.
You find something, and you're like, it's there. I'm going to buy
this.
Take pictures, you buy stuff. It's Target, you know.
Let's see. What is this story here about PS4? Oh, PS4 sold 2 million units at launch.
1 million.
2.1, excuse me. Okay. That's good. I don't know.
Yeah. Nice job.
Congratulations. Yeah, I mean, look, I think both consoles will break records because they've been able to make more than they ever have before. And that's sort of the bigger story here. But congratulations to everybody on that. And what else? Metal Gear Solid 5 isn't coming out for a while, I guess. I don't know. I didn't put this there. On here. Let's see what else we got here. I guess we're ready for the CAG bag.
You don't answer this question about why you don't have a Wii U?
I don't know. Do I? I guess I will. Triple X. Just got to ask, why doesn't Cheapy have a Wii U? It seems like since you're in Japan, you make a great income, own a video game website, have a young kid, and because the PS4, Xbox One, and PC overlap quite a bit, that you'd be up for getting a platform more complementary instead of three that are going to all have very similar games except for a few exclusives. Are you waiting for the Wii U to have the same games and same online system as the other platforms just because you can have four of the same systems? Just curious. I know you're going to give a standard line or two, but try to dig deep. I mean, I know some just really have a dislike for Nintendo. And then please let Shipwreck and Wombat psychoanalyze you while you don't own a Wii U and never play a 3DS game.
I'm back, by the way.
Yay. Good. You're just in time to psychoanalyze me.
But that in 8 years, that's never happened to me.
Well, do you have a Wii U, Wombat? You don't, right?
No, I don't. I don't.
I don't feel like I need to play a Mario game. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's good and all, but I guess maybe I'm a graphics whore now. I don't know. I don't have any dislike for Nintendo. I wish them all the best. But it just seems like...
And that means so much to them.
It was part of his question.
I know.
None of that stuff really appeals to me anymore. That's all. I mean, the whole tablet thing, I have a tablet already. I don't know. There's nothing about it that... I don't see any of these games that say, oh man, I just got to play that. I don't know. Mario doesn't do it for me. Zelda doesn't do it for me. Not to take anything away from anybody who loves these games. I don't know. The Wii, the regular Wii was such a downer for me. I never used it. I bought the thing. It just sat there collecting dust. And the Wii U just seems like more of the same to me. So why waste the money
in
space?
I think that's probably a good reason. There's part of you that has that Wii feeling. Where you owned a Wii, you didn't like the Wii. Why would you get the Wii U? It has Wii in the title.
Wii, it sounds like to me.
Yeah, exactly. And why do you want more Wii? Why do you want a machine that, yes, it has that controller with the screen on it, but it also, has a lot of games that still use that Wiimote.
I just don't want it to take up space. I don't want any more. If I'm not going to use it. But it's more wires. It's more power. It's more just shit plugged into my TV. If I'm not going to use it, why have it sitting there? And I certainly don't feel like I need more games. That's what I mean? I don't know. And if I don't know. I'm waiting for Nintendo to put out a piece of hardware that is exciting to me, and they haven't done that for a while. I don't know what else to say, but I certainly don't have anything against Nintendo.
I think they're going to have a good Christmas just based on anecdotal, stuff that I've seen in stores. They seem to be moving a lot of Wii U's and a lot of 3DS's.
All right, good. Good for them.
That Mario bundle is doing very well.
Excellent. JMS493 writes in and asks for NVIDIA Shield updates. They updated the software. So did you see now you can stream games in 1080p on the Shield? And I tried it out with Batman Arkham Origins, and yeah, it looks really good. But again, it just doesn't have much use for me.
It's small and it's shitty controls.
The controller is not as good as the Xbox controller, and if I have to use it at home, why wouldn't I just play at my computer or on my TV? It doesn't solve any problem for me. But it does. Technology
works.
The screen
is too small, though. Like, for being a...
No,
something
it's
you
nice.
Can play in bed, the screen's a nice size.
Right. It has no use for me personally. But right. The technology works. I mean, it definitely works. I'm assuming that they're just going to build this into a screen at some, like a full size screen at some point, so you could, you know, game in multiple rooms in your house.
That would be pretty amazing if they come out with something that like a Steam Box type of thing. But
yeah, it could just be a chip that's built into a display or a USB, you know, or rather an HDMI dongle or something like that. I mean, there's a lot of applications for this. I'm sure that the Shield is just, you know, basically research for them. They don't expect to actually make any money off these things. Let's do some other questions here. Maybe. I don't know. Or are we done? Any of these questions appeal to you guys? Oh, wait. Ari Glass wants to know when the basketball season starts for you, Ship.
It doesn't still this coaching. Year. I took a year off because...
Oh, baby.
Yeah, baby. Baby.
Cute baby.
That
we got a card in the mail of your baby.
Yep, me too.
Yeah. By we, I meant me and you.
Right. Emmy Rue. Oh, is that your baby? Did your baby write in? Emmy Rue, your Japanese version of your
Japanese
baby?
Japanese version of my baby, yes.
Wanted to know if I could share any KAG Black Friday website traffic stats, and also a megaton shout out to Wario64. The at video game deals coverage has been unbelievable. It's a great time to be a KAG. Yes, super props to Wario64. He did an incredible job with at video game deals Twitter account. He's a machine, obviously. Yeah, we didn't get, you know, I think last Black Friday we had a million views, page views on the one day. We were close this year. It was, I think, closer to 900,000 than it was to a million, but it was still good. It's all good. Can't complain. Anything else? Oh, here's one from Frisky Tanuki. I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but he says, it seems that Amazon's basic service is being downgraded for those without an Amazon Prime subscription, with an increase to the minimum amount needed for free Super Saver shipping and delayed shipping for non-Prime customers. Doesn't this seem like the sort of tactics that you'd expect from your cable internet phone provider and not Amazon? Shouldn't they be making sure that Prime is that much better than the already great basic service that you'd feel dumb to not sign up, instead of downgrading the basic service to frustrate their cheaper customers that could easily go elsewhere for deals? I did notice that a lot more people were buying from Best Buy this year than they have from previous years, like way more. So maybe you're onto something there, Frisky. There's been a number of articles in the news lately about how Amazon, while their revenue is gone up over the past couple of years, they still aren't making a profit. So they are, you know, a Prime subscription is probably a nice,
you know,
way
what's gonna
to
help with
to...
that profit is drones.
Drones. Packages. Yeah.
That'll never happen.
No, it's not a chance. No. Never going to happen. It's an FAA and legal nightmare in the United States. May happen in a different country, but never here.
Canada.
Well, the US is so litigious that it's just probably would not make sense. And there's a couple of good articles out there that you can read about that. But Shipwreck, we know Shipwreck is always right. So Shipwreck says never going to, well, not never, right? Like maybe in like 20 years it could happen.
I it's hard to predict 20 years out, but I just know they were saying the earliest that this could happen was 2015. No way do you get something through the FAA in that time frame.
Shipwreck knows.
I'm very familiar with that process. And it's just, like, it just makes no sense. Like the furthest these radius have on these things is like 12 miles or something on those. Like, okay. So they're going to have to build distribution centers everywhere. These things, it's such a nightmare on so many levels. They did it. It's a good promotional stunt. Like it's a good
PR
stunt.
On the Sunday before Cyber Monday.
Right.
And that's about it, I guess. I also want to give a shout out to this. I don't know if you've seen this Twitter account. It's @KAG_historian. And it's a guy who's going through the old KAG cast one by one and just pulling out interesting quotes and such. And he's got one from KAG cast number 11, on the eve of the Xbox 360 launch, so that's, you know, November 2005, Wombat says, quote, "Hopefully they'll be good machines and not faulty pieces of junk."
Who knew that I was so prescient?
But there's been a lot of interesting stuff on there. So @CAG_historian.
Yeah, I hope he keeps it up, and I hope you all follow him so he's has incentive to keep it up.
Yes, I've been retweeting it.
Me too. Right now he only has 182 followers, and that's depressing.
Right.
Follow him. He's worth it.
Yeah, I'll maybe, if I remember, put a link in the show thread. All right, I think, wow, we've done an hour and a half here. So let's wrap things up. Let's when you're following @CAG_historian, also follow GBD, Wombat5277, Shipwreck, @VideoGameDeals. It's the perfect time of year for that. And we've just surpassed 72,000 followers, which is nice. Also, follow @Wario64. He's very close to 10,000 followers. So give him a little push there. And Facebook.com/CheapAssGamer. Also, check out Wombat's other podcast, Uninformed Opinions. Did you do a show this week?
We did a show this week. The topic was movie musicals.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a big shout out to Stack Soap. Go to Whole Foods in Ohio, Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., South New Jersey, or Kentucky and pick up that hot Stack Soap. It's a great stocking stuffer. Buy it for all your friends and family. Drop it in the stocking. Thank you, Stack Soap. Go to stacksoap.com for more info. And we will see you next week, where hopefully I will have a report from my father, my 71-year-old father, setting up his Xbox One. We'll see how that goes. Until then, we will see you next time.
Brent's done.
The year is 2048. Evolving technologies can no longer be regulated. Dangerous advancements forever alter the criminal landscape. Police are not prepared. Law enforcement combats this corruption with a new line of defense. But not all are created equal.
The idea behind the DRMs was to be as human as possible. They were based on a program called Synthetic Soul.
That's one of the crazy ones.
I'll lead you in.
Let's go.
Now all cops, human and man-made together, take on the battle to watch over us all.